This is God's word of grace, that we are accepted, we are forgiven, and we are loved. This gift we have from God. Amen. Lord God, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Amen. The Bible passages today, the first reading is Apostle Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1 from verse 15. Ephesians 1 from verse 15. Apostle Paul says, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may perceive what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glory and inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put his power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. The Psalter is Psalm 93, and it's page 813. You rule, O God, clothed in majesty, robed and girded with strength. You have established the world so that it can never be moved. Your throne has stood from of all. For all in eternity, you are God. God, you rule with royal bearing, clothed in glory, love, and light. The waters have lifted up, O God, the waters have lifted up their voice, the waters lift up their pounding waves. Mightier than thundering waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, mightier than wise God. Truly your law stands firm. Holiness adorns your house, O God, forever. God, your rule with royal bearing, clothed in glory, love, and light. The Gospel reading is from Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, from verse 44. Luke 24, 44. Then he, Jesus, said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he, Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Rock, O Lord, O Redeemer. Amen. Today we celebrate Ascension Day, when Jesus has ascended into heaven, and there is a problem with that day, you know. Ascension Day is always 10 days before Pentecost. And Pentecost is always a Sunday. And 10 days before Pentecost is never a Sunday. So the Ascension Day is a difficult celebration because it's never a Sunday. It's always something else. So when we, and it's a very important thing, and it gives us, it wants to give us a perspective on things. It wants to give us a perspective on reality. I've told you before several times that the church calendar, the liturgical calendar we use, is following the life of Jesus. Therefore, our liturgical calendar begins with Advent. Not with the birth of Jesus, but with the promises of Jesus. We go through the promises of his birth before he was born. Then we go to his birth, which is Christmas Day. Then we go on with his miracles and his teaching and his life. Then we come to Easter, which is his death and resurrection. But his death and resurrection wasn't the final chapter in the life of Jesus. Jesus was ascended into heaven. And it's very important because all our creeds put emphasis on ascension. All our creeds, the Nicene creeds. Do you remember the Nicene creeds? That is very much like the Apostles' Creed, but much, much earlier version of the Apostles' Creed. And put emphasis on his ascension, and of course his the eyewitnesses of his life and death and resurrection put an emphasis on his ascension as well. It raises a very important question. It raises a very important question about the importance of Jesus. And that's a very difficult topic. It's a very difficult topic. You might understand what I'm talking about because it's not something intellectual, something to understand with your mind. It's more like something you understand with your heart. This is called the paradise lost problem. The paradise lost problem. And the paradise lost problem is asking a very simple question. What is better for you? To know paradise than lose it, or never know paradise, so you don't know what you are missing? And it's a very important question. In some regards, it's an important question. And of course, there is no right answer, because the answer depends on your personality. You may say, yes, I would rather choose paradise for a limited amount of time. And even though losing paradise is painful beyond words, but I can think back of those days and I would have something to remember. Some other people would say, look, losing paradise would be absolutely devastating, so much that the loss would cripple me for the rest of my life. So for me, it would be easier not to know at all. So these are the two options. These are the two options. This is the question of the paradise lost. And in terms of counseling and in terms of meeting people and talking to people and having lives having the privilege to have a closer look at other people's lives, it is for me, it's one of the greatest and most profound experiences when somebody said that I did have something. I had someone. And while I had him or had her or had it, I didn't know what it was, how important it was. I didn't know how important she was. I didn't know how important he was. Then I lost it. I lost him or I lost her. And for the rest of my life, I mourn this loss. Not because it's gone. I mourn the fact that while it was with me, she was with me, he was with me, I didn't appreciate that person. Can you understand the context? And in many ways, I can see this as a problem. The person of Jesus Christ in the lives of the believers. That I can see people, I can see church people relating to Jesus as somebody important, but somebody who is enough to be visited once a week. God is important. God is important. But if I visit him once a week, that's more than enough. And it's not even on summer vacation, because that's totally... God is absolutely not needed during the summer. So this is the question, because God, the Word of God, is giving us a strange image of the spiritual reality and giving us a very special insight of heavenly values. Because we learned that your values are yours and my values are mine, and your values are not better than mine and my values are not better than yours. We learned that rule. But there's a big problem here, because time after time, Sunday after Sunday, whenever you open the Word of God, whenever you open the Bible, we have the values and priorities of God Almighty. And when it comes to God Almighty, I cannot say, well, God Almighty, I can appreciate your values, but they are not more important than mine. I can appreciate your priorities, but they are not important, more important than mine. I cannot say that. You cannot say that either. But the most important thing about God, the most important thing about God is his Son. And we have Jesus for a purpose. I know it sounds bad, if I told you that you had your mother for a purpose, that doesn't sound nice. Or you had a husband or wife for a purpose, that sounds awful. And to say Jesus, you had a Jesus for a purpose, that sounds awful too, but to some degree, it still helps us understand the question. Is your Jesus as big as the real one? How big is your Jesus? How big is your Jesus? And of course, we need some reality check. We need some spiritual reality check. Because we live in the Western world, and in the Western world, there is a lot of people talking a lot about cultural bias. And every generation thinks that they finally got rid of all the cultural bias. Praise the Lord, it's not true. So whenever we look at the church, whenever I talk to people about the church, I have the feeling, I have the conviction, I have the hunch that church is considered something like a club. It's like a hobby. You know, my husband loves fishing. My dad loved hunting. My grandmother went to church. Hobbies. We all have hobbies. I prefer the pub. We all have hobbies. And you cannot say that my hobby to visit pubs is something worse than your hobby of going to church. Because hobbies are all, we are all equal. Our opinion are equal. Our values are equal. Everything is equal. And our hobbies are equal too. But we have a spiritual reality check here. When God is showing us Jesus taken into heaven, Jesus being everywhere at the same time, present everywhere at all the same time. And that raises a question. Can we see Jesus beyond the church? Can we see Jesus beyond our concept of, well, this is a hobby? It's on the decline, on the top of everything else. It's on the decline. But the church is basically us. The church is basically us. Maybe we don't feel good saying this on a Sunday, but believe me, on a Monday, you wouldn't feel that bad to say these words. The church is basically us and nothing more than us. But the Bible says that the church is not us, mostly. Yes, the church is us, that's definitely sure. But if you think that, and if you believe that the church is nothing else but us, we are wrong. Because the church is equally Jesus, or even more importantly, so. So for us, every time we come to church, we hear something from God. God is communicating his message, and his message is filled with his values, is filled with his priorities, and this is always in conflict with our values and our priorities. So, ascension story of Jesus is a very important one, because for me, as a kind of an illustration, about the ascended Jesus is in the beginning of the book of Revelation. You remember the beginning of the book of Revelation? And John, the author of the Gospel of John, is in exile in an island called Patmos. And on that island he saw a vision. He saw a vision of Jesus Christ. And that vision, in many ways, scary, because the glory radiating from Jesus is so huge that it made John fall on his face. And he thought that he sees another sun, because he said that the brightness coming out of Jesus was brighter than the sun in the middle of the day. And believe me, in the Middle East, the sun in the middle of the day is pretty bright. It's not like Glasgow. Sorry, that was a joke. So it was bright, he fell on his face. And he didn't even recognize Jesus until he heard his voice. He says, "Stand up." And immediately John felt filled with good feelings, because he recognized the voice of Jesus. So for us, this is a challenge. You see, as an aging congregation, I see an aging congregation, I see an aging person in the mirror every day. But the question is it everything there is to see? Because even in the heart of hearts, you think it is, and there is nothing more than that. I'm afraid you are wrong. Because the church is the body of Christ, and you know that. It was part of the Sunday school curriculum. It was the part of confirmation class. The church is the body of Christ. And Jesus is that glorious. And Jesus entered into his glory on Ascension Day. He had a perfect life. We should have. He lived a perfect life on our behalf. And he paid for our sins on our behalf. And in return, we received his righteousness. We gave him on the cross all our dirt, all our sin. And in return, we received his righteousness. We received his perfect track record. So, when you have Jesus in your heart, and God looks at you, he will see Jesus. And God will tell you, and God can tell you, "This is my beloved child, in whom I have great pleasure." I said all this to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.